Naturales.
Sí, señor.
Bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFP podcast. Jorge Georgie Martin and just one primo today, Hector Reyes.
What's up, guys? I'm good, man. Just hanging out, lounging, enjoying the late summer weather here. So it's nice, man.
and some beverages later. I got some sangria waiting for me in the fridge. So that's going to be good times, baby. But Ricky is somewhere up in one of the national parks, enjoying life on a road trip to take his younger brother, our primo Tonino, Antonio, to college. So all the way
up.
So Ricky's going to be he's going to be chiming in when he can on this trip, but obviously he's keeping up to speed on everything and getting ready in the next couple of weeks because a lot of stuff firing up. So
yeah, we try to get him on, but the internet's not that good. And then, you know, next to where the geysers are and like bears and deer, not too much internet there.
Yeah, not good. We went up there last year and I just turned off my phone because there was just no service to be had.
Yeah, there's just nothing. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, familia, gracias for joining us. Como siempre, es un placer. You know, make sure to check out our website, familiaffp.com, as well as our social media channels, @familiaffb on Twitter and Instagram, as well as our Familia FFB Facebook page. Well, a little bit of a heavy heart to start off with. You know, Hector, the three of us, we talked about our mutual love for pro wrestling in our younger days. And yesterday, Kamala, the Ugandan giant.
Yes. Oh man. I RIP to Kamala the Ugandan giant. What was it, like heart failure or, you know, some kind of health issue that he had, right? Something.
Some heart issues, but gosh, I mean, just nobody looked as scary as he did when he just stood in front of his opponent and started banging his belly on each side and just, oh god.
Yeah, it was like him and and I was like, this was like 84 for me, 85 for me. I was like, you know, 10, 11 years old, you know, watching these guys, Junkyard Dog and Tito Santana. And I remember the scariest guys, you know, the scariest guys that actually kind of gave me goosebumps when I was a kid were Kamala the Ugandan Giant and George the Animal Steel. And I think, did both of these guys have Mr. Fuji as their manager?
I think you're right.
Like, yep. Mr. Fuji was like, he was kind of like the Barnum and Bailey, you know, the Ringling Brothers, kind of the sideshow guys that, you know, he would have as, you know, as his wrestlers. And Kamala scared the crap out of me. George the Animal Steel with his green tongue, you know, eating the foam out of the turnbuckle. These guys scared the crap out of me, but they put on a good show, man. It was always, you know, I have so many fond memories. We've talked about it, watching, you know, WWF back then, now WWE, but it was always great to see all these guys from, you know, as the WWF did such a great job of getting, you know, wrestlers from all around the world, you know, Kamala from Uganda and George the Animal Steel from parts unknown. And, you know, there was Ivan Putski, the Polish Hammer, and, you know, the Iron Sheik, and Nikolai Volkov was from Russia. So, I mean, it kind of in a weird way, the WWF taught me like geography. So I was like, what the heck? Iron Sheik, like, I think it was from Iran. So I was like, where's Iran? I would like spin the globe and find Iran, and I would find Uganda. Where's Kamala from? And, you know, where's Russia? So, you know, I was like, you know, as a kid, it got me interested in like world geography. So kudos to you guys at WWE for showing me, you know, where all these different wrestlers are from all around the world. And RIP to Kamala, the Ugandan giant.
Yeah, we're banging our bellies in tribute, guy. Salud, and you know,
raise a glass for Kamala. Yes, man.
Yeah, pour one out. Vaya con Dios, yep. Kamala.
There you go. Yep.
So it's time for some cheese, man. We got a lot of cheese, man, to talk about.
Lots. Oh man.
Primo, is the Big Ten about ready to cancel the football season? Football season?
I completely think. I mean. This is just, you know, the first, as they say, the first domino is about to fall. And I think we talked about, you know, the Ivy League, you know, rescheduling or saying that, you know, it's, you know, college football or, you know, is going to be rescheduled for the spring. But, you know, I think that the other of the Power Five conferences are going to be right in lockstep. I think it's just a process. I understand that these conferences have been, you know, conference calling and talking amongst themselves, to try to figure all this out, because obviously, you know, these are college kids. I mean, they're not getting paid like these guys in the NBA that need to make a living and support their families and their children and their spouses. So yeah, I can see it. If you're a professional athlete, there is a, it's a different, it's a whole different paradigm. It's a whole different issue when you're looking at, do I need to play, do I need to play contact sports in the middle of a pandemic? When you're a professional athlete, sure. When you're a college athlete, I mean, these guys are playing football, which is tackling, and they're breathing all over each other and stuff. So I can't really see, first of all, how parents are not going to be up in arms about their kids playing college sports. But I'm surprised the NCAA hasn't chimed in to say, you know, just forget it, at least for now, we're not going to have it. So Big Ten right now saying that they're going to be out. And I can imagine that, you know, Pac-12, Big 12, and these other guys, SEC, are probably going to be right behind them with some announcements coming very shortly.
Yeah, the players seem to want to play.
They want to play. Of course they do, sure. But it's not for their own good. You should. It's like taking medicine. It tastes bad, but it's for your own good. You know, yes, sitting down will taste bad.
The interesting thing, though, is the players want to play. The coaches want to play, but it's, there's not going to be, if they can play, there's not going to be any fans. The big difference between the NFL and college sports does not have the resources to do the amount of testing that the NFL is doing.
Exactly. Well, yeah, of course. It's JV, it's a JV NFL. So you are exactly right. I mean, technically, the NCAA has a lot of resources, but they're stuck between a rock and a hard place. Because if the NCAA goes balls out, you know, funding testing like this, it's like, you know what? What are you guys really about? You know what I mean? Like, these kids shouldn't be playing. If you guys are investing all this money in testing just so that you can get these guys on the field, I'm not a fan of that. You know what I'm saying? Like, they should be focused on, okay, let's just sit them out. You know, we're in the middle of a freaking pandemic. Like, they shouldn't be playing.
I think the one thing is there is some kind of like little chatter, maybe some little cheeseman that there's a possibility of playing mm-hmm. games, you know, after the new year. So that would be pretty crazy, because if they play a season around the time that people are usually in combine season.
Right.
I don't know what this does to the NFL draft. It's just another thing that has massive repercussions in the sports world. I mean, obviously there's things in the world that are huge, much bigger than sports, but, for our little world, fantasy football, NFL, college football, it does have a lot of repercussions for the players mm-hmm, because they mm-hmm. just don't all of a sudden, you know, are they, you know, some of these players who are counting on the NFL to, you know, rise them out, you know, get them out of, you know, trying circumstances. Does this hurt that possibility, or do these players just go straight to the combine and hope that they can play? Trevor Lawrence, I don't think he's got a problem.
Exactly.
Justin Fields, I don't think he has a problem.
Exactly. But, some guys are already set. You know, some guys, you know, that are technically like Trevor Lawrence that could have left.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of guys that could have left early and gone to the NFL already. So the scouts already know what Trevor Lawrence is about. The scouts already know what a bunch of guys are already about. And this season was just going to be kind of like, okay, let me just solidify what my notes say. Let me just solidify what I already know about this guy. Let me just watch him for a few more games and just confirm the things that I already know, all the skill sets that I already like about certain players. Let me just use this season to confirm those things. So those guys are already set. It's going to be those guys that could have had breakout seasons this year. Like, oh my God, where'd this guy come from?
Like Joe Burrow.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, are we missing out on a Joe Burrow from this year? So I just look at him and I look at those kind of guys and I'm just like, well, you know, that's where scouting and coaching really come into play and how these guys perform in the combine next year.
That's going to be huge. To your point, it's going to be, you know what, we don't have much game film on these guys. We're going to be drafting people based on like combine. There's going to be like a combine Heisman. Like, this guy did the best at the combine, so he gets the Heisman. You know, like, he was this guy, you know what I mean? The combine Heisman. That's what it's going to be. Jeez. He had the highest jump, you know, like a formula. Like, the heaviest bench press plus the highest vertical plus, you know, this fastest time, you know, running through the cones, and you put it together and you multiply it times pi, you know, times diameter. And then whoever has the best score, they get the Heisman. So let's just, no. Whatever. It's going to be something like that, I guess. I mean, you know, there's going to be no game. So, you know, who wins the Heisman?
No, that's going to be crazy. It's going to be crazy. Well, you know, some dominoes are kind of fell in for the Washington football team. You know, Friday afternoon, there was the sad news about Darius Geis turning himself in, mm-hmm. being arrested mm-hmm. for some pretty ugly charges. And then the team immediately released him. So from a fantasy football standpoint, I mean, obviously we can't get into the legal matters, but from fantasy right. football, that opens up a lot of carries in the Washington backfield. You know, there's Adrian Peterson. He could be getting some early work. Obviously everybody's draft, you know, mock draft darling, Antonio Gibson, you know, at 6'2", 221 pounds, who can run like crazy. Is he all of a sudden becoming,
fantasy relevant?
Yeah. Is he becoming fantasy relevant? I mean, so what happens with him? And, you know, there are other guys, Peyton Barber, JD McKissick, Bryce Love, that could be getting playing time. This is going to be a backfield that we really got to keep an eye on, Primo.
For now, yeah, there's a bunch of guys, as you mentioned, on the Washington football team. Coach Randy Jordan just mentioned that he's talking about Antonio Gibson. It may take some time for him to kind of learn the ropes, learn the protections, you know, figure out and diagnosing blitzes and stuff like that, protecting his QB. So we'll have to wait and see with Antonio Gibson. Obviously, you have AP, the ageless wonder back there, Adrian Peterson. I still don't know how the guy still does it. Whoever it was that did his reconstructive surgery, I don't know, give that guy his own, you know, NFL MVP, because I think that guy has put back together all the Humpty Dumpties in the NFL that have ripped, you know, tendons and such. And that's the person that put back together Adrian Peterson. And he's just been like the bionic man ever since he came back from his torn ACL. And so, you know, we'll have to wait and see if he's got another good year in him. Adrian Peterson's super competitor. If you listen to his interviews and such, the guy is just like, you know, no one's going to take my job. You know, I'm still the man. So he's always playing like he has something to prove. So like you said, we're going to definitely keep an eye on the Washington football team backfield. But I would love to see AP put together another throwback season. That'd be pretty awesome to watch.
And it could be one of those things where AP handles some of the early down work, or maybe he splits some carries with Antonio Gibson. Gibson gets some carries, gets some receptions out of the backfield. He's meeting with the running backs and the receiver groups. So, this is the coach and offensive coordinator who helped coordinate Christian McCaffrey into being the stud that he is. So you can't expect that out of Antonio Gibson, but. You know, there's you know, the talent could be there, so we'll see. I mean,
yeah, sure. There's definitely there's an uptick there, and definitely the level of interest goes up if he's got McCaffrey's guy, you know, showing him the ropes. That's definitely a plus for sure.
Yeah, going from 77 total touches to 200 plus is a big in the NFL is a big jump. So
oh yeah, gotta be in shape. Gotta hit that treadmill and be ready.
Well, speaking of being in shape, T.Y. Hilton is hammy. You know, he expects to be back in action in a couple of days. That always worries me when I hear a couple of days, because a couple of days becomes a week, 2 weeks. And, when you've got the soft tissue injuries, it's got me a little, it makes me a little worried.
Yeah, here's the question. I mean, when is the last time that you ever heard someone that had a hamstring injury early or even before the season starts? And at some point during the season, they were just like magically all better. It just generally doesn't happen, right? I mean, Will Fuller, and you have, you know, T.Y. Hilton now, and you have our guy on the Eagles, that was our favorite, Alshon Jeffrey, our favorite, you know, soft tissue guy, Alshon Jeffrey. So I'm always very leery when someone is, especially a wide receiver, you know, these skill positions, running backs and wide receivers have these hamstring injuries. I'm very hesitant to go after any of these guys, because that, like I said, these injuries linger. These are lingering injuries. And we've seen it with Alshon. And I have no reason to believe that, you know, we've seen it with Will Fuller on the Texans. It seems like every season for the last handful of seasons that hamstring injury creeps in and it ruins your week because, oh, it's like Thursday. Like, oh, the hamstring, he's going to be out. This, like, what? Like, wait a minute. Yeah. What just happened? So it's a sneaky injury. It'll pop up. And, you know, when you least expect it. And so be very careful, you know, especially with guys like T.Y., any of these soft tissue guys, if you're thinking about picking them up on your squad. I'm just trying to stay away. I'm very hesitant. Like I said, I'm at a value. Maybe I'll watch T.Y. Hilton. You know, he's got Mr. Phillip Rivers over there now throwing him the ball. But I'm very leery when it comes to hamstrings, man, especially this early in, you know, in action, even before the season starts.
Yeah, I'm going to keep an eye on the training camp reports.
If
this thing is lingering, I'm just staying away. I'm just going to stay away. There's in that wide receiver 24 range where he's going, I mean, there's a lot of good guys in there. So,
yeah,
you know, they're definitely guys. Well, we're going to talk about him in a little bit anyway. So, you know, as we get into our AFC South, but,
yep.
You know, so now we're hearing that Alvin Kamara tore his knee. But he rehabbed it without surgery, and apparently he was dealing with it the whole season. So,
unfortunately for me, he was dealing with it for the whole season.
Yeah.
I use my second overall pick. Instead of picking up McCaffrey, I picked up Kamara last year, and he tore his knee in week six, and that was just like the death knell for my season, pretty much. And I was looking at him to be my top scorer week in, week out, and it just never materialized, and it's just, you know, it happens. And he says he's healthy now. So yeah, definitely looking for that Saints offense to rebound big time.
That still has me a little worried though, because I just wonder, I mean, he didn't get it. I mean, obviously you never want to see a guy get surgery, but you wonder, could this become like a chronic thing with him?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And maybe the knee goes completely. So that I've got a couple of teams. One's got two teams have the number 10 pick. One has the number 9 pick. If Kamara is sitting there, which it's conceivable that he could,
sure.
Do I risk the selection at that point? That's got me a little. I mean, obviously he was dealing with high ankle sprain, but this is a big year for him. You know, it's his fourth year he's potentially a free agent, so he's definitely going to want to make a big impression on either the Saints to re-sign him or somebody else to get him. So you know, I think we're gonna hopefully we get to see the best of Kamara, because that then he'll really return that first round
capital. when Kamara is on, I mean, he's one of the best players in the NFL. I mean, last year he was top three in everybody's league, you know, in everybody's rankings. It was who was number one? It was Saquon last year, and then two and three were CMC and Kamara. That was your top three. That was your top three last year. So, and for good reason. So, you know, if Kamara can be healthy like he says he is, I mean, and you just the guy's he's a beast. So just be ready. So hopefully, fingers crossed, he is healthy, and we'll see how it goes. I got the number 7 pick overall, you know, coming up for our draft. So he's available at number 7. I may have to scoop him up again.
He may be there for you. You get him. He'll pay you back. He'll pay you back for last year.
But if Michael Thomas is there and Kamara is there, I might have to go with Michael Thomas. But we'll have to wait and see.
Well, the other we got some good news on the reserve COVID-19 list. T.J. Hockenson and Keyshawn Vaughn were activated from the list. So. Hopefully, I mean, you know, it's a little more than about a week and a half of time that they missed. So,
not bad. Yeah.
You know, hopefully they're able to catch up. I mean, Hockenson is also, you know, coming back from an injury that ended his season last year. So, supposedly he's in phenomenal shape, but still, that one, you know, you want to see you want to see that he's 100%, that he's getting through training camp healthy. And
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, we're looking forward to seeing the Lions offense run on all cylinders. Everyone's looking forward after what Stafford did last year, his hot start. I mean, everyone's just waiting to see if he can duplicate that, which shouldn't really be any reason why he couldn't. T.J. Hockenson may emerge as one of the hot tight ends this year. So we'll have to wait and see.
Well, I think as we're going, I mean, next week we got to do the Lions. We got to have your brother on. So
yeah, for sure. Have Vic on.
When we do the AFC, NFC North.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, let's get into the main event today.
Dun, dun, dun.
Vamos al sur, the AFC South. Start off with the Houston Texans. You know, we got Deshaun Watson. It's going to be how this team goes is Deshaun Watson. And all of a sudden, he's got no number one receiver with DeAndre Hopkins, which, you know, Deshaun Watson definitely loves to throw the ball deep. You know, he was yards per pass attempt. He was 7.8 yards last year. He was number 12 in the league. So the thing that I think that is really funny, he's had two seasons where he's been healthy. 16 games in 2018, 15 games last year, where he was a healthy scratch the last game of the season.
Uh-huh.
Great completion percentage, 67.3. He's one of the best quarterbacks, but you know, he hasn't gotten to 4,000 yards yet, nor 30 touchdowns, which seem to be those benchmarks that you want to see your quarterback hit
right.
for fantasy purposes.
Yep.
But it's the, you know, the rushing yards, and I mean, he's still a threat out of the backfield. He's a phenomenal player to watch play football. For you, heck, you know, going in round four, you know, he's QB3 right now, but he's going in the fourth round, number 43 overall. Is he a guy you're looking at at that point, or are you waiting?
No way. Yeah, no way. I'm looking at Kyler and Dak Prescott before I'm looking his way. Deshaun, I mean, I had him a couple of years back right before he blew out his knee in practice, and I was so distraught because the guy's awesome. I mean, Deshaun Watson is a great quarterback. I mean, the guy, he can do it all. He's a running threat. He's got a strong arm. He throws darts to, you know, to his receivers. Yes, he doesn't have his main guy that he did last year. I'm very hesitant because his receiving core this year is nowhere near what it was in the past. Will Fuller, we've talked about his soft tissue stuff. Brandon Cooks, injury prone. Randall Cobb, he's getting up there in age. So I, you know, like you said, if he wants to move up to that next level, we want to see him get those big numbers. Those big quarterback numbers, but I don't know if I'm seeing it this year. You know, I don't know if he's going to reach those plateaus because his receiving core, I'm very concerned.
The one thing about his receiving core is he's got good deep threats and he likes to throw the deep ball. And I mean, I had him in another league. I had Will Fuller in another league where I started him the week he went for 14 receptions, 217 yards and three touchdowns. Uh-huh. I mean, it was just that was just an epic week. But those were the only touchdowns he scored the whole season. I mean, the one thing about him, if you draft him, you just know that you got to draft another, you know, you're hopefully drafting him for your flex. And that
right.
Fuller, you're definitely looking to start him as your number three guy, you know, third
right.
receiver or your flex guy. You know, Brandon Cooks. I mean, the thing about Brandon Cooks that I find really interesting, he's got four seasons of 1,000 yards each for three different teams, New Orleans, New England, and the Rams.
Yep.
And you know, people talk about the fact that when receivers go to new teams, they don't do as well. But Cooks has got, you know, Cooks has adapted to new teams and done well. I mean, for me, the only question with him is are the concussions behind
yep.
him? Does he
yep.
not, you know, can he not suffer one and play 16 games? And because I think if he does that, I think he's going to be dynamite in this offense. I think he and Will Fuller, when they're both healthy and on the field, I think they're going to be a nightmare for opposing defenses.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, yes, like I said, DeAndre Hopkins isn't there anymore, but Brandon Cooks is a speedster. When
yeah.
he's healthy, when he's not concussed and missing games, the guy has fantastic hands. I mean, we've seen, if you've been following Brandon Cooks, the guy can just catch pretty much anything. If the ball is near him, he's going to catch it. He hits those, you know, those streaks, and you know and Deshaun can just drop it right in there, and he's gone. So yeah, Brandon Cooks, he's dynamite. When he's running on all cylinders and he's healthy, the guy can put up numbers in chunks, and especially with Will Fuller on the other side, that's going to be just a complete headache, and you're going to make defenses dizzy. But yes, that is the main concern. That's what I just mentioned a little bit earlier, is that I just don't see that both of these guys can remain healthy. They're big injury concerns. Both of them are like, you know, flashing red signs for me. Like, you know what? Be careful. The injury bugs seem to always bite both of these guys. So we'll have to just wait and see. But I'm very hesitant with these guys as well, as far as injuries go. They're prone to injuries, both of them.
I like their ADP though. I think they're definitely, they've got a lot of boom potential for them. Mm-hmm, you know, one Fuller's at wide receiver 34, Cooks is wide receiver 36. You're not expending a huge pick on, you know, a high pick on those guys.
Right,
you know,
right.
Round 7 or round 8. So I think they're definitely options that you know, you're not, if they get hurt, hey, you know what, you pick somebody up on the waiver wire.
Plug and play with a different guy. Exactly. Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. For definitely. They're like boom or bust. So yeah, it's at those ADPs, definitely. I'd stash both of them on my bench for sure, and have them as a flex position, like you said. And you know, fingers crossed that they stay healthy, and you know, you can plug them in and score some points.
Well, you know, fingers crossed, definitely. We know that Bill O'Brien had his fingers crossed when he traded DeAndre Hopkins for David Johnson and a number 2 pick. This could look like a really bad deal, but David Johnson, he has the opportunity waiting in front of him. I mean, let's just put out there that the 2016 season, he's not getting back there again. 2,118 right. total yards, 80 receptions, 20 total TDs, where he was the RB1. That's not happening. He's 29, so he's starting to get to that age where people start worrying about the running backs going off a cliff. But you look at the opportunity with him.
Yep.
You know, you got someone like if Carlos Hyde, he got 245 carries and 1,070 yards in this offense last year. So I can see a healthy David Johnson. He had a back injury that happened. So if he could stay healthy and on the field, that all of a sudden I could see him getting 1,000 yards in this offense, and he's still going to be a threat out of the backfield. You know, maybe 50 balls out of the backfield. All of a sudden, that's a pretty good season for a guy you're picking in the fourth round at RB21.
Absolutely. At that ADP, that's a great pick. I mean, David Johnson, he was was it last year that he went first round?
He was a first round pick. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. And again, the reason for that is because we've seen what the guy can do, you know, and I don't see any reason why this year, you know, he's had a year to get healthy again. You know, like you said, he had the injury, but I don't see any reason why, because when David Johnson, you know, when he's on, he is on. You know, like you said, in 2016, 80 catches, you know, 20 touchdowns. It was just like, he was like a video game. And even if he comes back, to just like, you know, just a portion of that, just like even just a shell of what he did in 2016, it's going to be fantastic, you know. And you know, just as Kenyon Drake went from Miami, you know, over to the Cardinals and lit it up, I don't see any reason why David Johnson can't come from the Cardinals and come over to Houston and light it up here too. You know, the guy can catch, obviously. Deshaun can drop some dimes in there to him. And, you know, if he can remain healthy this year, yeah, ADP, RB21. I would definitely be on the lookout for David Johnson and stash him on my team for sure.
Yeah, Bill O'Brien with the plays, I think he's going to justify that deal. So that I think he's a lot easier to swallow in the fourth round than in the first round last year, where he's just driving nuts the whole season.
Exactly. So. Exactly. And he won't. Yeah, he's going to go. I think everyone will be on the David Johnson train and get a ticket right around RB21. No one's going to have any problems picking him up there. And he may even go up a little bit higher than that. You know, I think people have some especially people that had him before and he did well for them. Like you said, 2016, there may be some people licking their chops and saying, like, you know what, there's a chance that in this offense, you know, he may be catching a lot more balls, especially if, you know, Fuller may go down, you know, with an injury, or he's not 100% this week, or Brandon Cooks is out with a concussion. And so then David Johnson's going to be there catching some extra balls and getting some extra yards and extra points. So, you know, maybe a little bit extra sauce there for David Johnson.
Yeah, I mean, I look at his ADP and he's going ahead of Jonathan Taylor, David Montgomery, Devin Singletary. It's definitely thinking about it.
I think people are putting a lot of stock in what he's done in the past. What can he? And it's risk reward. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to take a shot at David Johnson because people took shots on David Johnson in the first round last year. And yes, it didn't pan out, but that doesn't mean he can't get back to it. Like Kamara, like you're saying, Kamara may go, he's not going to go top three like he did last year, but that doesn't mean he can't get back to his form. He's going to take a hit based on his performance last year, but that doesn't mean he can't come back to form that he played in before. And I see David Johnson. I see a little bit of that.
No, definitely. Definitely. And one last thing, just a real quick hit on Darren Fells. He's going on tight end, currently going undrafted according to ADP. But he got 9 out of 11. He caught 9 of 11 red zone targets, and 7 of them were for TDs. That's a good number for tight ends, especially, when you got someone like Darren Waller who catches 90 balls and only gets 3 TDs. So
he
might be a streaming option to play. I don't know if he's somebody who's draftable, but somebody to keep an eye on, maybe in the right matchup. So
right, exactly. Like you said, like bye weeks, have him in there.
Absolutely.
Especially in leagues where tight ends required, the tight ends are going to go. So definitely want to keep an eye on our league. Not so much, tight ends a flex position, but if your league requires a tight end, then you're definitely going to want to have a guy like Darren Fells on your bench when your tight end is on.
So we're on to the Indianapolis, the Colts. They were 7-9 last year. Just a, pretty frustrating team. Jacoby Brissett obviously thrust into the starting quarterback position when Andrew Luck, he shocked the NFL world by retiring. I remember he retired the night of one of my drafts and totally
was
like
it after or before?
After, just no. By giving somebody a heart attack. Yeah, it was rough.
Did you draft him?
I didn't draft him, but the guy who drafted him also drafted a Lamar Miller who blew out his knee the same day. So it was rough. But they've got a lot of pieces. They've got the number one offensive line according to Pro Football.
That is key. That's a big deal. That surprised me. I did not expect to hear that because, even just a couple of years ago, Andrew Luck was running for his life, and one of probably the main reasons why the guy retired, just taking so many hits and just saying like, I'm just tired of getting, smashed up in the backfield, by defenders. So that was when I saw that, that Pro Football Focus has the Colts as the number one offensive line. That was very surprising to me. So, but that's cool. I mean, that they're going to be able to protect Phillip Rivers. So that's very cool.
And that's one thing then you need. We know that Phillip Rivers is not mobile. But, yes. He's always a guy I root for. I think I love his passion when he's on the field. Every time he gets interviewed, he's such an aw shucks, kind of like a down home Alabama boy.
Yes.
So he's just, he's fun to root for. And, I know Ricky is, torn up all his Rivers jerseys, but.
Crimea Rivers.
I'm looking at him, he had 4,600 yards. People were talking about a down year for him. And a lot of ways it was a down year. 20 interceptions, you don't want to see that. Only 23 touchdowns, that's tough. Still, he supported two wide receivers who hit 1,000 yards, Keenan Allen, and Austin Eckler just missed 1,000 yards by 7 coming out of the backfield with over 90 receptions. So, he definitely can fill it up. Definitely likes to throw the ball down the field, which is good news for T.Y. Hilton, assuming he gets back healthy. So, and it's going to be a young wide receiver core. He's not going to get hurt. He's not going to get hit as often. So I look at teams with great offensive lines, I always think that they're giving him a shot. With teams that have top 10 offensive lines, those are usually the teams that are in the playoffs. So I look at Indy as a team that could be on the come. They might be coming up. And I think a lot of it starts with Phillip Rivers.
Absolutely. I mean, and one thing to think about is that, people talk about, Phillip Rivers, he's getting old and this and that and the other. But at the on the flip side, everyone is speaking so highly of Austin Eckler. Like, oh my God, Austin Eckler, he's just this, like, awesome. Oh my God, you know, this, he's a guy that he's, you know, definitely a guy to watch and definitely a guy that I want on my team. Austin Eckler's season was due to Phillip Rivers, was due to the skill of Austin Eckler. Doesn't have the season that Austin Eckler had last year without Phillip Rivers. And like you said, a couple of thousand yard receivers on the team, Keenan Allen and Mike Williams, right? He was the other. That was it, a thousand on the on
Mike Williams. He just got over 1,000 yards.
Exactly. So these are numbers that you're not getting these numbers from a weak quarterback. You're getting these numbers from a solid QB, and the Chargers O-line last year was suspect. You know, so now you're giving Rivers a chance, like you said. You're putting him behind the top ranked offensive line. The guy, you have to remember, Phillip Rivers is actually kind of built like Big Ben. No one ever really talks about it because he's not called Big. He's not called Big Phil. He's just Phillip Rivers. But the guy's huge. The guy, Phillip Rivers, is a big dude. He's a big dude. And yes, he's not going to probably get hit as much this year, but he's a big guy. And the reason that he's been able to hang around this long is because he's such a strong quarterback, and he can make those throws. So he's still got a cannon arm. He can still do it. Maybe not as obviously as much as, you know, 15 years ago, 10 years ago and so, but the guy can still sling it. You know, you've seen what the guy did with Keenan Allen. He can drop them in there. He can throw darts to his guys. He can lay it in there, the jump balls to Mike Williams, those over-the-shoulder throws. Phillip Rivers can still do a lot of things. And he did them last year under a lot of pressure and still did them. So I'm very excited to see what Phillip Rivers can do with some time in the pocket. Because I think as old and wise as he is, because that's another thing. You know, if he's healthy, which he has been, and he knows everything that he knows, because these quarterbacks, as they get older, yes, they get older, but they also get wiser. You see, you know, guys like Aaron Rodgers, you see guys like Phillip Rivers, guys like Drew Brees, they do things, you know, like Tom Brady. How did he do that? Like, how did he know to do that? You know, they can make those throws where only their guy can get it, and they're so consistent with it and so good at it. And that's one thing that Phillip Rivers brings is his wisdom and just the fact that he's been doing this for such a long time. He's going to do things in Indy that they haven't seen in a while. And I'm excited to see. I think there's going to be a lot of good things happening. He's got his receiving core. Michael Pittman's there. He's got Paris Campbell. Yes, T.Y., we talked a little bit about the soft tissue stuff. Fingers crossed that doesn't come into play, because Phillip Rivers to T.Y., that's going to be just a 2.0 version of Rivers to Keenan Allen. There's going to be a lot of connections there. If Hilton's on the field, that guy's just going to gobble up targets, gobble up balls, PPR monster if he stays healthy.
I hope so. He's been one of my favorite players. I've had him on several teams over his career. So I think he's good. I love Michael Pittman. I don't know how long it's going to take for him to kind of get up to speed with the NFL game, but he's a big physical receiver who, you know, he got 1,200 yards and 101 receptions last year at USC when they didn't have the best quarterback situation.
Right. That's an understatement.
Yeah. You know, yes. Paris Campbell, you know, battled injuries. He played only seven games last year, caught 18 balls on 24 targets. So, you know, but, you know, the Ohio State fans are remembering the 90 catches and 1,063 yards and the yards after the catch. He's a bit, you know, he's a big bodied receiver. So
at the
Ohio State University. But, you know, I still think, you know, as much as we want to talk about the receivers and Phillip Rivers and the new quarterback, I think the fulcrum of this team is going to be the running backs, Jonathan Taylor and Marlon Mack. And a lot of people are saying that it's got to be that Taylor is going to run away with this job. And he probably will. He probably will get 250 carries. But there's a part of me that thinks that Marlon Mack might get enough carries to still be somewhat relevant and maybe even be, you know, a guy to play. Because of the fact that I look at the Colts as a team had 471 rushing attempts last year. So that, I think, can be split right down the middle, because Phillip Rivers isn't going to be taking any rollouts. And, you know, I think Jacoby Brissett had like 50 runs last year.
Right.
I don't think Rivers is going to do many of those unless it's taking.
He'll have like four.
Unless it's like, taking a knee or something like that.
Right. Or the 2 yards that he needs for a first down. Maybe he'll do that.
So Mac, you know, a lot of people are writing him off. I mean, I know the lead beat writer for The Athletic really likes him as a runner. I look at him, it's like, well, you know, I think the 1A is definitely Jonathan Taylor, and he's going to have an excellent season. He's one of the best running back prospects that we've had in a long time, and he's from that running back factory in Wisconsin.
Them in Georgia, right?
Yeah. Penn State's right behind them right now, but those guys are going to be good. Those guys are good. One guy to keep an eye on a little bit, Jack Doyle. Remember, Antonio Gates, Hunter Henry. Phillip Rivers does like throwing to his tight ends.
Yes, 100%. If there's a guy that loves to throw the tight ends, it's Phillip Rivers. If you think about the quarterbacks that, you know, who's the QBs that love throwing to tight ends, Phillip Rivers has to be either at the top or very close to the top of that list. For sure.
Absolutely. Well, let's go down south. Jacksonville Jaguars. If I would have told you that a sixth round draft pick would come up in come into his first game, not even as a starter, come in as an injury replacement and go 22 for 25 for 275 yards and 2 TDs. What kind of tequila do you think I would have been drinking way too much of if I would have told you that a year ago on opening day?
No chance. No way.
Minshew Mania. That was the start of Minshew Mania.
Minshew Mania. Yeah. Where did he go to college? Do you have that?
Washington State.
Okay. No, because I was just thinking, because didn't Fitzmagic, because there's like this, I just remember like Fitzmagic, and didn't he go like to Harvard or some like Ivy League school? Because I was just thinking that there's something to be said about QBs that just like these, like the cerebral guys. I think Gardner Minshew, I can't remember what his major was, but I think it was like something like super like nerdy, like really like chemical engineering or something like that. I thought I heard somewhere, but I was just.
No, that's Justin Herbert.
Oh, there we go.
Herbert had a hard major.
There we go. So, but my point is that I think the quarterbacks that have that cerebral approach will succeed. So that was just my point. I think Gardner Minshew, like you said, Minshew Mania. There was no way that anybody I think could have predicted his start of the season. That was pretty awesome.
I think he's a guy to really keep an eye on for two QB leagues, Superflex. Nobody's going to be having him in a starter. He's not going to be top 12, but I could see him. I could see maybe sneaking into the top 12 if he has a big season. This is not going to be a very good. This is not going to be a good defense. They're going to be one of the worst defenses in the league. And he's thrown it. He's going to make that second year jump. I think, you know, there's going to be a big difference. And plus the fact that he had a great connection with DJ Chark.
DJ Chark, yep, big time.
And that is going to be right off the bat, they went for over 100. They connected for over 100 yards. I think it was 146 yards on just four connections, four catches.
Yeah.
So DJ Chark, I mean, he's 6'4", 198. He can fly. He's got a catch radius all out of the world. He is ready to be a Pro Bowl receiver for several years. I think it's right there. And he's really underrated. At wide receiver 23 going in the fifth round, I would take him. He doesn't have a lot of competition.
I was just going to say that we're looking at D.D. Westbrook. I mean, he's on the kind of the downside of his career that, you know, he has been good in the past, but I don't see anything from D.D. Westbrook in the coming year. Who's currently at, you know, wide receiver 72. The other wide receiver on the bench, the rookie there, LaVisca Chenault. I mean, he's coming out of Colorado. That's to be seen, you know, if he has a connection with Gardner. But I mean, yes, like you said, DJ Chark is the guy. He's the guy on that team. They already have rapport. They've connected and had success, Gardner Minshew and DJ Chark. So I just see more of that coming. And that's going to be exciting because Gardner Minshew, you know, Minshew Mania, I don't think it was a fluke. I think that's here to stay, at least for the next few years. And like you said, their defense isn't that good. Their O-line also isn't that good. Pro Football Focus has them at number 26 O-line for the year. So he's going to be running for his life a little bit. But at the same time, I think they're going to be coming from behind a lot. So there's going to be some garbage time there. And I think he's going to find DJ Chark on some go routes, you know, some late TDs that don't mean anything. But from a fantasy standpoint, you're going to love that.
You know, last year, Leonard Fournette had his best season He played 15 games. He was a scratch because of an illness in the last game of the season when it, you know, the season didn't really matter.
Exactly.
You know, they were out of the race. He got 1,152 yards on 265 carries, but only three touchdowns. But the big thing is he had 76 receptions on 100 targets out of the backfield, 522 receiving yards. That was amazing. I mean, you definitely can look at the fact that you'd think that with that many touches, 341 touches, he's got to get more than three touchdowns. He's got to get like at least eight touchdowns out of that.
Right.
So you expect that to come up. But I think one of the things that's going to come down is going to be those receptions and those targets, because Chris Thompson, who was a huge cog in Jay Gruden's offense when they were together in Washington, he came down south with Jay Gruden, who's now the offensive coordinator for Jacksonville. So you look at Leonard Fournette. Obviously, he's also going into his fourth and final year of his rookie contract. They did not renew him for a fifth year, so he is going to actually be playing out his contract. Maybe he's playing for somebody else next year. He's going to want to play 15, 16 games and put up some numbers so he can get paid. He is going to do that. He is definitely going to do that.
He's way overdue. Oh, I'm sorry. What were you going to say?
If he does that, he's going to be well worth it. I worry a little. I worry about it with him. I've been avoiding him on mock drafts.
Injury
history.
Yeah, that's the only thing. And poor guy. You know, I mean, coming out of college, all eyes were on him. Just like, man, this guy's just a beast. And I remember, you know, when he was a rookie, he was being drafted pretty high, you know, in fantasy drafts, because it's like, man, this guy's coming out of LSU. This guy's awesome. You know, be ready. And the guy was in college. He was amazing. And it's just this injury bug has just plagued him for these last few years. And he just hasn't really had a chance to put up the kind of numbers that I think we all think that he really could on an injury-free season. Last year, three TDs, because there's got to be something to that. You know, only three TDs. I don't know if, you know, at the end of his runs, he slowed up a little bit for, you know, I don't know. But I'm just hoping that the injury bug doesn't bite him again this year. But I'm right there with you. I'm a little bit leery of Leonard Fournette just because every single year it's something. And like you said, last year, the last game of the season, some undisclosed illness. There's always something with Leonard Fournette that it's just, he's right there. You just wish that he could just get over that hump and just put together a season that we all know he could. And then, like you said, because he's in the last year of his contract, he's, I'm sure, just salivating, just ready to blow it out, just put up just crazy numbers. And hopefully he gets a chance to do that.
You know, one thing, I just saw an interesting stat. He had 46 red zone carries. And that was, where did that rank? That ranked tied for fourth in the NFL, and to only get three touchdowns,
that's crazy.
I think,
I mean, you give McCaffrey those, and he's turning them into like, you know, seven or eight TDs at least, right?
So he had 54, and he turned it into 10.
So there you go.
Even better.
There you go.
So Fournette, I mean, it just shows that the offensive line just wasn't very good. You know, those are the play, you know, the red zone carries, that's where the offensive line, that's what linemen, they make their money.
Give you that push. Right. They want to make that push across the line so that he can get across the line. And obviously that just shows itself in the 26 ranking. That O-line just was not getting him that push that he needed. And he was probably just getting stuffed, you know, like a pizza to 1 yard line.
Exactly. Well, our last team in El Sur is the Tennessee Titans, who definitely, you know, it seemed to come out of nowhere. They looked like kind of a middling team at the beginning of the season, kind of like we're going nowhere. Derrick Henry had a couple of big games, but really,
Marcus Mariota just fizzling out. Finally.
Yep. And then it was week six. He takes over the job. Oh. Ryan Tannehill takes over the job. And next thing you know, he's completing 70.3% of his passes for 2,742 yards and 22 touchdowns. He has a TD rate of 7.7, which was number two in the league behind the MVP, Lamar Jackson, with an incredible 9.0 TD rate. So, you know, his QB rating was 117.5, number one in the league. I mean, it just, all of it came together to get the man paid. 4 years, $118 million. Are you buying that he's going to do it again, Heck?
Absolutely. Here's my question, George. How is it, or do you agree with me that the only reason that Tannehill isn't getting the love and that people are so skeptical and you're hearing everywhere, it was a fluke, this and that and the other, is only because he came in midstream, only because he came in, you said week six, right? When he took over. If Ryan Tannehill started last season and played the entire season and did these exact same things that he did, no one would be saying that. Do you agree? I mean, how is it a fluke that, only because, you know, week 6 through 16, he only did that in those games. So therefore, you know, that was only a partial season. Therefore, it doesn't count. But Jesus, I mean, that should be enough data. That should be enough proof that anyone needs. I mean, the guy came in and he just lit it up. And you know, him and AJ Brown, I had both of these guys, so I have a little bit of kind of inside information. I had Tannehill. I picked him up late in the season off the waiver wire. I picked up AJ Brown off the waiver wire, and I got to watch these guys just put up points in chunks. So I don't think it's a fluke at all. I mentioned it before. Ryan Tannehill and Kenyon Drake came from, you know, an absolute zero of an offense in Miami. So you, now you start to think, okay, wait a minute. So you have Kenyon Drake, who's not getting any kind of love, not really putting up any kind of significant numbers, attracting any kind of attention on the Dolphins. Ryan Tannehill, serviceable quarterback. Yeah, the guy's okay. You know, game manager, blah, blah, blah. And then both of these guys go to new teams. Kenyon Drake goes over to the Arizona Cardinals, goes bananas, lights it up. Everybody wants him on their team this year. Why isn't it the same for Tannehill? Same exact thing. He came from the Dolphins, goes to a new team, lights it up, but he's not getting the same love as Kenyon Drake. So I don't get it. I love Ryan Tannehill. I would love to pick him up on my squad, him and AJ Brown, get that stack on my squad. And yeah, not a fluke. What do you think, George? I think Ryan Tannehill is a real deal. He just got stuck in a sucky team with a sucky offense for too long.
I think you've got part of the reason why he's not getting the love right now. I think the other part of it is people are looking at recency bias, where he passed just 15 and 14 times during their two wins against the Patriots and the Ravens during the playoffs, where everybody's watching every game and people are like, this guy's getting $118 million. So I think that's what's driving his price down, which is crazy because playoff football is different than regular season football.
Yes.
Weather is an issue. I mean, he was playing in New England and in Baltimore where weather is definitely an issue. So sure. weather's not going to be an issue for much of the season. I think he's definitely a good play in two quarterback leagues. I mean, he does not turn the ball over. He only threw six interceptions last year, and obviously it was in 12 games. So I think he's a great value on two quarterback leagues. So I would definitely play him in there. I think maybe his worst days are behind him. I hope he's healthy because he did miss the 2017 season with a knee injury. So hopefully those issues are behind him. But also the other reason why they passed so few times during the playoffs is Derrick Henry was un hombre. He was un caballo.
I was just going to say that. I mean, any head coach would be an idiot after the season that Derrick Henry had last year. You know, you'd be an idiot of a head coach not to ride the bull, you know, into those games. So yeah, you have to go. You're for sure going to go heavy with Derrick Henry and all day, every day. And the guy's just a monster. Derrick Henry is a physical specimen. I would love to be able to, you know, talking about stacks, if I can get Tannehill, Derrick Henry, and AJ Brown, I'll be a happy camper for sure. Because I mean, I try to get Derrick Henry because we've talked about it before. I had Derrick Henry year before last in 2018 and 2017, And the guy did nothing for me, you know, obviously playing with, you know, Marcus Mariota, and the coaching staff had him, you know, as the second running back for whatever the stupid reason that was. So that happened. So of course, like you say, recency bias, because I got burned by him sitting on my bench doing basically nothing for 2 years in a row. I didn't pick him last year. And of course the guy sets records and goes bananas. So he's here to stay. Derrick Henry is going to do all kinds of amazing things as a running back, for the foreseeable future. That's going to happen. And that's only going to make things better for Ryan Tannehill, because the running game gets going, and Ryan Tannehill now has, you know, he's going to be the starter for the season. He gets to run the entire season. And I think being in that comfortable role, he's going to make a lot of good things happen. I see the Titans going back to the playoffs and, you know, maybe even farther than that. So we'll see.
The one thing about Henry, I wonder how many people who had him last year felt burned when he sat out Week 16, the championship week. So that's one thing. And you know,
that was not his fault though. That's not his fault though, right? Those are coaching decisions and game rest, script. Right.
Yeah, they rested him because it wasn't
game, right?
They didn't need to win that one. They needed to win the next week, so they wanted him.
But that's just fantasy. I mean, that's the bane of fantasy. Like, you know, that's risk reward. You pick up the hot guys that are going to make it to the playoffs. You know, the real NFL playoffs, not the fantasy playoffs. And then they may sit out because they don't want to get hurt, because they're the guy. They're that awesome guy. So that's a risk that you take by having these great guys. So, but that just comes with the territory. So that's not Derrick Henry's fault. That just kind of is what it is.
You know, it's interesting. He's going in the first round, number 7 overall is his ADP. People are all of a sudden, some people are shying away from him because they don't like the fact that he's not a threat out of the backfield to catch the ball. 18 receptions last year, 2
not yet.
He had a couple. I think even if he just catches 20 balls again this year, he's definitely going to be worth it. He's going to get another 300 carries, and and he's going to be up or around, you know, 12 to 15 touchdowns. I think this guy's just a battering ram. He didn't get, as you know well, he didn't get a lot of use his first couple of years, so he's going to be. I think I know, but I think he's going to. I think he's making up for that right now.
And the coaching staff would be silly not to get him more involved in the passing game. They're just like, they have, you know, one of the great running backs maybe ever, you know, in Derrick Henry. Get him involved in the passing game. Let's go, coaches.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the passing game, you know, you talked about Ryan Tannehill, AJ Brown. I mean, he looks like a running back. He's like 220. He's like 6'1", 220. He's just built. And I mean, they use him on jet sweeps. They use him, he's definitely a yards after the catch monster. I mean, he is an absolute stud. And I think, you know, this year, he had 84 catches last year. And I mean, the numbers around him are just incredible. He got 1,051 yards on just 52 receptions last year. His 20.2 yards per catch was second in the NFL. His 12.5 yards per target was tops in the NFL. He got he got 465 yards after contact. I mean, this is a guy who's a clear number one. There's no competition for him. I think he's going to, even though they're going to be a run heavy offense, I think he's still going to get 120 targets. And you get 120 targets with him, I think the yards per reception come down, but I think the yardage goes up. I think we're looking at it like a 1,200 yard, 10 to 12 touchdown season with this guy. This guy has a nose for the end zone. He's got next to no competition for receptions outside. So all arrows pointing up for AJ Brown.
Absolutely. Like I said, I picked him up last year off waivers, and like you said, every time that you get your scoring alerts and you check your phone, because that's what we all do, right? You know, and it was just like AJ Brown, 47-yard TD. AJ Brown, you know, 39-yard TD. AJ Brown, you know, 50-yard TD. Like, wait, what? It seems like that's all that I was seeing. It's just like these monster TDs. And he's, like you said, he's a speedster. The guy will blow past you. He will get open. He's smart. He'll create space, and Ryan Tannehill found him time and time and time. The guy had 9 touchdowns. So obviously there's an awesome connection between them, and I'm sure they can't wait to get back out there and just continue to do it again. you know, I see him just building on that season. Yeah, I can't wait to see what these guys do next year.
Yeah, he's one of my favorite players to watch. Yeah, and one player to, you know, our last player before close up shop to just kind of keep an eye on, Jonnu Smith, who is right now he is tight end number 17. He's going in the 12th round. So he's not being drafted as a starting tight end, but he's a guy to keep an eye on because mm-hmm. the fact that there's 31 tight end targets that opened up by Delanie Walker leaving the team. I think he may have retired. I don't think he's latched on with anywhere else. He's got great athleticism. He's very good catching the ball underneath. He's also a tough guy to bring down. He had 439 yards total receiving. 278 came after the catch. So I think his receptions are going to go, his targets are going to go up around, you know, I think the 31 targets that went to Delanie Walker are going to go to Jonnu Smith, and all of a sudden he's going to be a very viable player on a week-to-week basis. Maybe not somebody who gets drafted out of the way right off the bat, but maybe he's a guy for streaming or some guy that gets picked up after the first week of the season. So if you're waiting on tight end, Jonnu Smith is a guy to definitely consider.
Yeah, and I think, like I was saying, if the coaching staff is smart, they're going to get Derrick Henry more involved in the passing game. A.J. Brown's going to be out there double teamed, likely, you know, because the guy's just such a badass. So, I mean, they could do some creative things, and that would leave Jonnu Smith open across the middle for some short stuff. You know, if they're being creative with the offense, A.J. Brown's going out, maybe Derrick Henry comes out as well. Jonnu Smith over here, you know, they can get creative because, like you said, there's not really any other wide receiver that's making any kind of noise there. You have Adam Humphries currently going undrafted. Corey Davis is on PUP, so we'll have to wait and see how that goes. But yeah, not a whole lot to speak about as far as receivers on the Titans outside of A.J. Brown and Jonnu Smith. Like I said, if they can get Derrick Henry involved in that offense, they can really make that thing dynamic and just really keep defenses just off kilter. And that could really bring them up to the next level. So hopefully they get a little bit creative there. But yeah, that could, like you said, that could really help out Jonnu Smith. And you know, tight end 17, definitely the guy to keep handy. You know, for bye weeks and you know, in the Titans offense, which I'm high on this year, he could definitely get you some points when you're starting TEs on the bench.
Yeah, there's always sneaky shootouts in this division. So
yep.
I mean, it's always some fun games to watch. Well, Primo, that was fun.
Hey, always.
Yeah, eso es todo for our show. Thanks again to Anchor.fm for being our hosting network and for making sure our independent podcast gets out into the Familia community. Please subscribe, leave us a review, Spotify, Apple, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at FamiliaFFB, as well as our Familia FFB Facebook page. Gracias otra vez. And remember, todos somos familia. Y póngate la máscara.
Yes, salud.